Okay, so welcome back to Shmuel Aleph. We're learning Perek Yutes. It's not a very long Perek, the 24 Psukim. We'll see if we can do it in one night. We'll see if we can do that. Might be pushing it a little bit, but we'll see. If not, not. Okay, so the Perek begins. If you remember, in last Perek, Shaul tried to get David killed. He's already tried a couple times to get David killed. The first time he tried to kill him, if you remember, he tried to kill him with his spear. He tried to, you know, shish kebab him, and he missed. The hashkacha had it that he missed. Last perek, we learned about the fact that Shaul tried to get David to go out into battle and to get killed by fighting the Plishtim. That too did not work. And now he's trying something else. Perek Yutes Pasuk Aleph Vayidaber Shaul El Yonah son Binovi El Kol Avodav Lehamis Es David. So now Shaul turns to Yonah son, his son, and to all of his servants, and he tells them, "I want David dead. I want David dead." Yonah son ben Shaul Chafetz BeDavid Meod. Now Yonah son, we know, loves David. He loves him. He's very close to him. He wants him, of course, to live. And here the Malbim says that this is Shaul's third try, right? Attempt number one was with the spear. Attempt number two was by sending David out to battle with the Plishtim. And now attempt number three is with the servants, right? To let, you know, send his servants after David to kill him. The problem is that Yonah's son foils the plan.
Doesn't Shaul know that Yonah's son, doesn't he see the love that he has?
Good question. Good question. You know, why doesn't Shaul suspect that Yonah's son will spill the beans to David, which he does? It's a good question. Maybe he didn't realize just exactly how close they were. Maybe he didn't think that he would say something to him. It's a good question. It's a good question. The Mitzudas David said the reason why he went to his Avadim is because he didn't want it to be obvious that it came from the king. And the Mitzudas David kind of, you know, uses this theme throughout this perek. That Shaul, you know, he didn't want to be embarrassed. He didn't want people to think that he did something wrong. You know, how do you kill David? David, remember, was a very popular figure, right? Everybody loved David. So he didn't want it to be too obvious. That's why he went to the servants. You know, let the servants kill him, you know, something like that. And okay, but in the end, the Yonasan ben Shaul Chafetz B'David Me'od, and Yonasan spills the beans to David. Pasuk Beis. David turns to David and tells him, "Mivakesh Shaul Avila Hamisecha, my father is trying to kill you." He tells him straight out. Ve'ato hishamerna v'aboker v'yoshavto v'aseiser v'nachbesa, and he says, "So in the morning, I want you to be very careful, and I want you to go into hiding. Go into hiding in the morning. Why wait until the morning? Good." So the Malbim says that Shaul specifically wanted to kill him in the morning when he was still in bed, when he wasn't armed, right? Because, you know, remember, David is a pretty strong warrior himself. So this is part of Shaul's strategy, that he wanted to kill him, you know, in the morning. He was, you know, still sleeping when he wasn't armed. He wasn't, you know, he wasn't prepared. That's when he wanted to kill him. And of course, you know, so Yonasan tells David, "You got to hide. You got to hide in the morning. You can't stick around. Don't be in your bed, you know, at 4 o'clock in the morning. That's when they're going to come to get you." Now, it's interesting, you know, all the, whenever the soldiers come to talk to Chayalim, come to talk to the boys at DRS, you know, we had some Chayalim here. All the operations always happen, you know, in like very early in the morning. That's when they do the operations, you know, 2, 3 o'clock in the morning. Why? Because, you know, that's when it's quiet. People are sleeping, or they're supposed to be. Okay, Pasuk Gimel, Va'ani Eitze Ve'amadati Liyad Avi Basadeh. So Yonasan says, "You're going to go into hiding, and here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go with my father out to the field, Asher Atosham. You're going to be in that field. Va'ani Adaber B'cha El Avi. I'm going to speak about you to my father. V'ro'isi Ma V'higadati Lach. I'll see what he says, and I'll keep you posted. I'll keep you posted." Okay? So here he's telling David to go out and hide in the field. Now, what's with this field? Right? Why in the field? So there's different interpretations in the Mefarshim here, why in the field? The Radak says that this was Shaul's daily routine. Every day he used to go out, you know, to the field in the morning, and that's where he was going to be. So he knew Shaul was going to be out in the field. So he said, I'm going to go out in the field, and I want you to hide there, and I want you to hide so that you can overhear my conversation with my father Shaul. I'm going to say good things about you, and let's see how he responds. And if you don't hear, you know, directly by overhearing the conversation, I'll fill you in, you know, on the things that you missed. Okay. Now the Malbim says that it wasn't the field. You know, the reason why he told him to go and hide in the field wasn't just because that's where Shaul was going to be, but also in case David would have to run, he's already in the field. Right, the fields were kind of on the outskirts of the city, so this was already like, you know, he would get a head start, so to speak, that if David, you know, had to flee and had to run, so he was already in the field and he would get, you know, he would get a head start to run. Right.
He said run.
Okay. So it seems that that Yonasan is going to try to convince. Now there's a question in the Mefarshim exactly how to understand this. Some understand that he's going to try to convince Shaul to go back to backpedal, you know, and try to convince Shaul, hey, David's a good guy, don't kill him, and we'll see that that's actually what happened. So you know, listen, keep in mind, David doesn't want to run, right? If David can stick around, he's married, he's got a house, you know, if he could stay here, he would rather stay here in safety. You know, he doesn't want to have to be a fugitive. Correct.
Why would Dennis say then and there try to convince him? He probably did, and it didn't work.
Apparently then he didn't do it yet. Meaning now he's convincing him. Now he's trying to convince him. Well, again, Shaul tells Yonasan what he wants to do. He wants to kill David. Yonasan first thing runs and goes to tell David, right? Be careful, guard yourself, hide yourself, and let me go to Shaul. Let me see if what I can do. You know, talking to my father, talking some sense into my father. Now the Malbim, as only the Malbim can do, the Malbim says that if you look at the words "Va'ani adaber becha" in Pasuk Gimel, the Malbim says that whenever you have adaber with a beis becha, that's always bad. And he brings, of course, proofs from different Pesukim in Tanakh, but it's always something negative. So says Yonasan, very interestingly, to David, that I'm going to speak badly about you to Shaul. Right, I would have thought, and some of the Mefarshim understand, that Yonasan was going to speak good things to Shaul about David to try to convince him not to kill David. No, says the Malbim, Adaber Becha means I'm going to speak badly about you to Shaul. Why? Because I want to see how he's going to respond. I'm going to say bad things about you. Let's see how Shaul responds. And when we ascertain his response to my negative comments about you, then we'll see where he's really holding. Then we'll see how much he really hates you, if he really wants to kill you. Then we'll determine all of those things. Exactly. So he's going to hear this in the field, and whatever he doesn't hear, Yonasan will fill him in. Okay. Pasuk Dalet. Vayedaber Yonasan b'David tov el Shaul aviv. Okay, now again, Pashup shot in this Pasuk, and I believe that the Metzudas David is understanding it this way, and other Mefarshim as well, is that Yonasan is speaking good things about David. That's what it sounds like. Vayidaber Yonasan b'David tov el Shaul aviv. He's speaking good things to Shaul about David, and he's trying to convince Shaul not to kill David. But again, according to the Malbim, that's not what he's doing. Vayidaber Yonasan b'David, that Yonasan started speaking bad things about David to Shaul, tov el Shaul aviv, that Shaul agreed. Shaul was maskim. Shaul nodded his head. Yeah, you're right. He is such a low life. He is such a terrible guy. You're right. Okay. Now, what were the bad things he was saying? So interestingly, the Malbim says that the critique of David was that he was reckless. He was reckless. He was one of these guys who didn't care about himself. He always, you know, if you're an upstanding person, you're a nobleman. Remember, he was married to the princess, right? You want to be a prince, you have to carry yourself a certain way. You can't just run out into the middle of the street. You can't just run out into battle and be reckless and just be very risky. That's not the way that a nobleman acts. That's not the way that a prince acts. You have to act with a certain amount of kovod rosh and do things in a slow and methodical way, not being reckless. David was reckless. That's the critique that Yonasan said to Shaul, and Shaul agreed. Tov el Shaul aviv. Yeah, you're right. He is reckless. He's not a good guy. But then all of a sudden, what does he say? Al yecheta hamelech be'avdo be'David. But then he turns on a dime, Yonasan, and he says to Shaul, but don't sin by killing David. Ki lo chatalach, because he never sinned against you. He didn't do anything bad. V'chimasav tov lecha me'od, and the things he's doing are good for you. Now again, Pashup shot in the Pasuk, let's say according to the Mitzudas David, Yonasan is saying good things about David, trying to convince Shaul not to kill David. And he says, because he's a good guy, don't kill him. He never did anything wrong to you. Not only did he not do anything wrong to you, but the things that he's doing are good for you. He's beating the Plishtim, right? So he's actually winning wars for you. You're now a king who's on top. You're great because you have David here. So David doing great things. So don't kill him. Don't kill him. According to the Malbim, it's a little bit different. He started saying bad things, critiques about David. He's a reckless person. He's not a careful person. And Shaul nods and says, yes, you're right. He's not a good guy. He's careless and he's reckless. And then all of a sudden, Yonasan switches and he says, but that mida of being careless and reckless has been good for you because he risked his life for you. He went up against Goliath for you. He went up against the Plishtim in battle for you. He got the Orlos. Remember the 200 Orlos of Plishtim for you. So it's true that he has this mida, which maybe per se is a negative trait, that he's careless and he's reckless and he'll just risk everything and not care about himself. But at the same time, that's a benefit for you. That worked out well for you. And therefore, you can't kill him. And therefore, he's a good guy. Pasuk Hey continues the conversation. Vayosim es nafsho b'chapo. He says he placed his life in his own hands, meaning he was moser nefesh. He literally risked his life for you. Vayaches ha-plishti, and he defeated the plishti. Vayas Hashem teshua gedola l'chol Yisrael. And it was good for Bnei Yisrael. Now there was a teshua. There was a Yeshua, right? There was a salvation. Everything is good for Bnei Yisrael. Ra'isa v'tismach. You saw this and you rejoiced, says Shaul. V'lama secheta b'dam noki l'homi, says David chinam. I'm sorry, says Yonasan. And Yonasan says, and now you're going to sin? Now you're going to spill his innocent blood for nothing? You can't do that. You can't kill him. He's not chayev misa. He didn't do anything wrong. You can't kill the guy. Shaul hears what his son says. Pasuk vav, ayishma Shaul. I'm sorry? I don't know that he... Where does it say that he did? That he know? No, he's saying, why are you now trying to kill him? He may not know about the spear episode, but he knows that Shaul wants to kill David because that's how the parak started, right? Shaul told Yonasan, I want to kill David. So pasuk vav, Shaul hears this. Vayishma Shaul b'kol Yonasan. He says, you know what? What you're saying is correct. You're right. You know, I may not like everything about the guy, but in the end of the day, he's a good guy and he did good for me. Right? You're right. I can't just kill him. So he agrees. Vayishava Shaul Chai Hashem im yumas. And Shaul swears, by the name of God, I will not kill David. Swears. Okay? So here we see all of a sudden it's a 180. Right? Shaul was just, you know, his third attempt to murder David. And now, boom, 180. Shaul says, you know what? I hear what you're saying. You're correct. He's a good guy. He's helped me out a lot. You're right. I can't kill him. And he takes a shvua. Now, we'll see a little bit why. We'll see in a little bit why Shaul seems to be flip-flopping. You know, he. Well, and even in last parak, you see, you know, he tries to kill him. He stops. He tries to kill him. He stops. You know, what's going on here? We'll see in a little bit. Okay. Vayikra Yehonasan the David pasuk Zion. So Yonasan calls David. Vayagilo Yehonasan es kol advarim ha'ela, and he tells him all this. You know, the whole conversation. Vayavo Yehonasan es David El Shaul Vayhi Lefanav Kesmel Shel Shom. And not only does he tell him, but he says, come, I'll escort you back to the king. And he takes David by the hand, he brings him back to Shaul, and everything is givaldic. Kismol Shel Shom, everything is just the way it used to be. David's menagein, he's playing the harp for him, and they have a beautiful relationship. They rekindled. David and Shaul rekindled, right? Beautiful. It sounds good. It sounds like, you know, we stop here. Nice, happy ending. Unfortunately, we know it doesn't stop here, though. Pasuk Ches. Now the milchama with the plishtim is continuing. The plishtim are not totally defeated yet. And the Malbim says also this was as a result of the 200 orlos that David had taken from the plishtim, right? Killed the plishtim men, taken their orlos and brought them back to Shaul. So the plishtim are still angry about this, and they're still trying to get back at David. So the milchama continues. David goes out and he continues to fight against the plishtim. And he really gives them a big defeat, right? He really wipes the floor with them. They run away, they flee. And now all of a sudden, Pasuk Tes, Vatehi Ruach Hashem Ra'a El Shaul. All of a sudden we see again this Ruach Ra'a. And this seems to be the cause of why Shaul keeps flip-flopping. Because when you have the Ruach Ra, whatever this Ruach Ra is, we've discussed in the past, some kind of spiritual state, maybe some sort of emotional state, a mental state where he is depressed and he's anxious and he's just not himself. When Shaul begins to feel like this, all of a sudden he wants to kill David. Right, because David's causing all these problems. David's, you know, getting greater and greater and more popular and more famous, and he's remaining the same, and he's, you know, not that great of a king. So all of a sudden, this Ruach Ra comes back. This evil spirit washes over him, and he wants to kill David. V'hu beveso Yoshev, he's sitting at home. V'chaniso biyado, he's got that spear again in his hand. And David is playing the harp right there in front of him. Now you see what's going to happen here. Okay? Says the Malbim, keep in mind, he just took an oath not to kill David. Right? So what's happening here is that Shaul is so swept away by this Ruach Ra that he's now about to attempt to kill David again despite his oath not to. And it's not because Shaul is a Rasha. He's not a bad person. He's not Chas v'Shalom, a person who just goes back on his word, but it's almost like he's out of control. You know, the Ruach Ra grabs hold of him, and he's just not himself. He's not thinking straight, and he's about to kill him. Now, the Malbim also points out here that this is a little different than the first attempt at killing David. Then, David had no clue what was going on, the Malbim said, right? David was just playing his harp, and if you remember, the Pasuk says that Hashem actually made him bend over. He wasn't trying to duck, right? Hashem made him bend over and the spear went right over his head. Right? It happened twice, exactly. Here, David sees that Shaul's holding the spear. When David's called in to play the harp for Shaul, Nachaniso biyado, he sees that Shaul's already holding the spear. Now David's a little suspicious. He's a little suspicious. Why? Because he just heard that Shaul wanted to kill him. Now, true, he heard that Shaul took an oath not to, and then he went back on it. But at the same time, he's got in the back of his mind, wait a minute, Shaul wanted to kill me not too long ago, and now he's calling me into the room to play for him. He's got a spear in his hand. I'm going to be on guard. Okay? The last time also, says the Malbim, Shaul was pretending to take target practice, if you remember. Right? He didn't want to overtly kill David. He was, you know, he was shooting darts, you know, he was throwing spears against the wall. Oy, Nebuch, David was in the way. Right? That's how Shaul wanted to kill David originally. He wanted him, you know, to make it seem like it was an accident. He was trying to throw the spear against the wall and, you know, Nebuch, David was in the way. That's what he was trying to do. Okay? But here it's not the case. Pasuk Yud, Vayivakesh Shaul lahakos b'chanis b'David u'akir. This was intentional. And he didn't hide it. He meant to be intentional. And he took his spear and he was about to throw it at David and pierce right through him into the wall. Vayiftar mipnei Shaul. David sees what's going on He sees Shaul raise his hand with the spear, and David bolts. He bolts out of the room, and he goes, the Pasuk says, he runs out of the palace, he goes home. Vayachas achonis bakir, and now Shaul, maybe out of frustration, or maybe he was just following through with the throw, he throws the chanis, he throws the spear, it goes into the wall. The David nos vayimolet balailahu. And David runs, and he runs home, and he stays there that night. So what's the, you know, the Mepharshim pick up here, it says, nos vayimolet, right? Nos vayimolet, they're both the same idea, the same word, the David's running, he's fleeing. So why two words, nos vayimolet? So the Radak says that nos means he escaped this particular attempt on his life. That's the nos. Vayimolet means that later tonight, he's going to escape for good. Okay, he's going to escape for real. And we'll see that, you know, as we continue. Pasuk Yud Aleph. Vayishlach Shaul Malachim el Beis David l'shomro v'lahamiso baboker. So Shaul knows, he knows, he hears that David went home. So he sends guards to stand outside of David's home to make sure that he doesn't come out, that he doesn't escape, and to kill him in the morning. Vatageid l'David, Michal ishto le'mor. And now, Michal, his wife, right? Michal, his wife, tells David the following: Im eincha memalet es nafshecha, if you don't save yourself, you don't save your soul, halayla, tonight, machar ata mumas, you're going to die tomorrow. So Michal, either, I don't know if she saw the guards and she figured out what was going on, or maybe she was tipped off, you know, by somebody in her father's home. But she knows that this is not going to end well tomorrow if David's still around here. Okay? Now, why didn't Shaul just kill him right then and there? Right? Why didn't he just send the guards in and let them just go into the house, take David out, and kill him? Right? What's he waiting till the morning? He's appointing these guards as shomrim, you know, on the house. It's very strange. So there's different interpretations in the Mepharshim how to explain this. The Radak interestingly says that Shaul would have killed him that night. But the only reason he didn't was his daughter. Think about it. David's married to his daughter. David's married to Michal. Imagine the trauma of sending the soldiers into their house, right? Schlepping David out and going to kill him. So Shaul says, you know, I can't do that to my daughter. I can't do that to my daughter. So therefore he thinks, let me appoint guards, make sure he doesn't escape. And then in the morning, when David is up and maybe he leaves the house, we'll chop him and we'll take him, you know, and we'll kill him. But this way, you know, we won't have to, out of respect for my daughter, I don't want to just, you know, send him in and schlep him out in front of her. That wouldn't be nice. That's the Radak's approach. The Mitzudas David says that, no, he wasn't worried about Michal. He was worried about what people would think. What are people going to think? If I send in, you know, I send my soldiers into David's house, and they schlep him out and they kill him that night.
What's the difference if they do it in the morning?
Oh, no. No, correct. But in the morning, again, the feeling was that in the morning, David would leave the house at some point. So once he leaves the house, we'll capture him. We'll bring him back to the palace. Nobody will know what's going on. And then in the palace, out of the public eye, we'll kill him. And nobody will know the difference, right? So we'll do it in private. So nobody knows. That's the Mitzudas David's approach. The Malbim has a little bit of a different approach here. And the Malbim says that he was thinking, you know, how am I going to do this? I need to have some sort of a claim, some sort of a taina to be able to kill David with an excuse. So this says the Malbim, what Shaul really wanted was to kill David as a Morid B'Malchus. Why was David a Morid B'Malchus? Because David was playing the harp for me, and he just ran away, right? I didn't dismiss him. He's working for me, the king. He ran away without being dismissed. What a chutzpah. Morid B'Malchus. So Shaul wanted a paskin that David was a Morid B'Malchus. He was rebelling against the king, and therefore that's deserving of the death penalty. Now, the people would have said, right, if he sent the soldiers in to kill him immediately, that people would have said, well, you didn't do a trial. You didn't give him a chance to explain. So he felt that he couldn't go in and kill people, they kill him immediately, because people would have a claim. You can't just kill him as a Mori B'malchus. You got to have some sort of a bait, some sort of a din Torah, have him explain himself. And then if he's found guilty, then you'll kill him. Okay? So what about in the morning? So he says, I'll take him in the morning. I'll take him in the morning. But then, you know, people would have claimed, you see, he didn't flee at night. So obviously he's not running away from you. Obviously he's not Marid B'malchus. So if I just stay until the morning and then I have my soldiers get him, people are going to say, you see, he stayed the night and he didn't flee. So he's not a Marid B'malchus. So therefore Shaul says, I'm going to send guards. Because if I send guards who stand outside his house, so the people can't say, hey, you see that David didn't flee, because he couldn't flee. There were guards there. That's why he couldn't flee. But had the guards not been there, David would have run away. Why would he have run away? Because he's a Marid B'malchus. He's rebelling. So therefore, Shaul specifically put the guards there, right, to show that that's the only reason, or to claim, not to show, but to claim, that's the only reason David didn't run away. But really, he's a Marid B'malchus, and he's deserving of the death penalty. And therefore, in the morning, we're going to kill him. That's the Malbim's main approach. The Malbim throws in that also, once the guards are there, maybe David will start up with the guards, and they'll kill him. And then I can avoid the whole question, right? Because then you start up with, you know, you're resisting arrest. You start up with the guard with the guards of the king, so you deserve to be killed. Yeah. Well, again, well, it's clear that she knew. Where she knew from, we don't know. We don't know where she knew from. Maybe she just figured it out. Right? Why else is he sending guards? We know he doesn't like David, so maybe they're going to kill him. I don't think so. Okay, now, so he's got to go. He can't stick around. If he sticks around, he's going to get killed in the morning. Pasuk Yud Beis. Vatored Michal is David ba'ad hachalom. So Michal lowers David down from the window. Vayelech vayivrach vayimolet. And he runs away from the scene. Okay? Poshepshat, the Radak says, is that they were guarding the doorway. They figured if he's going to come out, he's going to come out the door. They weren't watching the window, right? Some of the Mepharshim say the window maybe was on the other side of the building. You know, the doorway was in the front and the window was in the back. Some say there were two entrances and they were guarding the big one. They weren't guarding the small one, whatever the case was. But at the end of the day, they were not guarding everything properly. And he had the ability to sneak out. Pasuk Yud Gimel. So we'll see a little bit more about that. Yeah, sit tight. We'll see a little bit more about that. Okay. Pasuk Yud Gimel. Vatikach Miriam as hatrofim. Okay, Michal. Vatikach Michal as hatrofim. Michal takes the trofim. What are the trofim? Well, where's the only other time we know trofim from? From Rachel and Lavan, right? Rachel steals the trofim of Lavan. Okay, so let's see. The Mefarshim all struggle with what these trofim are exactly. But Michal takes the trofim. Vatosem el hamita. She puts them in David's bed. The Eskivir Ha'izim Sama Mirashosa. And she takes a goat pillow. It's like a pillow made out of goat hair. And she places that where on his pillow, where his head would be. Right? Because it's hairy. It looks like his head. And she takes the covers and she covers it up. She makes it look like David's still in bed. Right? Meanwhile, he's long gone. But she makes it look like he's still in bed. What were these trofim? So the Radak struggles a little bit with the trofim, and he says that, you know, he quotes different opinions. Some say they were avodah zarah, they were getchkes, you know, idols, like by Lavan, right? Lavan calls them his Elohim, right? His gods. Very good. So the Radak says you can't say that pshat. There's no way David would have avodah zarah in his house, right? Even if he wasn't worshiping it, there's no way he had avodah zarah in his house. So that's wrong. So what were they? So he says some others say that they were some sort of metal astrology tools. You know, maybe that's what Lavan had. Lavan had some astrology tools, and that's what Rachel, hid from her father But he says, you know, why would Michal be putting that in the bed? It doesn't look like a person. You know, why is she putting these metal astrology tools in the bed? So at the end, he quotes the Ibn Ezra, who says that that they weren't quite Avodah Zarah, but they were some sort of a doll, some sort of a doll that looked like a, like, you know, that was in the shape of a person. And the he quotes Ibn Ezra, and I don't understand this, but Ibn Ezra says it's Mekabel Koach Elyonim, that it somehow brings down some spiritual power, you know, down to this world. I actually looked up the Ibn Ezra in Bereishis over there by Lavan, and the Ibn Ezra says this, and he says, I can't explain it. He said, I can't explain it. You know, this it is what it is. I can't explain it. But so I'm not sure what that means. But at the end of the day, there was some sort of, according to the Radak, some sort of, you know, like a doll or some sort of a human form mannequin that that she was putting into the bed. She covered him up, you know, maybe to seem like he was cold. He needed to be covered. The Malbim says this whole thing was to stall for time, right? She wanted to stall for time. Now she has a tactic here. Pasuk Yudalin. Sorry. Yeah. He left in the middle of the night. So, you know, overnight she puts this thing in the bed, makes it seem like he's still in there. Similar to Yaakov, exactly. Right. Similar, yeah. Pasuk Yudalin. Vayishlach Shaul Malachim Lokacha, says David. So now Shaul sends Malachim in the morning to take David out. Okay. You know, it sounds like the Malbim says it sounds like he's sending more messengers. These aren't the first guys, the Shomrim that were by the door. Maybe because those Shomrim were just hired to be guards, and this was a different group. Maybe he'll, again, the Malbim throws in, maybe he'll fight with these guys, and then he'll deserve to be killed. But he sends these soldiers. They knock on the door. They say, you know, Shaul would like David to come to the palace. Batomer cholehu. So she says, I'm sorry, he's sick. He's sick in bed. He can't come. Okay, so the messengers go back. You know what Michal says? That they go back to Shaul. They tell Shaul what she said. Pasuk Tesvav. Vayishlach Shaul es ha-malochim liro, says David lemor, ha'alu oso bamito elai l'ham Yisrael. Okay, he's sick in bed. No problem. Take the bed, right? Bring him in his bed. You know, I want you to go in. I want you to see him, and I want you to schlep him out in the bed and bring him to me. I'm going to kill him. Okay. Now, Shaul thought, according to Mesudas David, that he was faking sickness. You know, he didn't want to come, so he's faking to be sick. So he tells them, go in, determine if he's really sick or he's just faking it. And then, you know, if he's faking it, schlep him out. And also, says Mesudas David, then I'll have a good excuse to kill him. He was lying to the king, right? He was lying to the king. Says the Malbim, again, you know, with the way the Malbim is learning this, the same thing as the Mesudas David just said. If he's really not sick, so then he deserves to die for being a Mari B'Malchus. He's lying to the king. And if he is sick, right, then we can also claim to people that really he would have fled overnight. And he's a Mari B'Malchus. The only reason why he didn't flee overnight is because he's sick. He's under the weather. But really he's a Mari B'Malchus and he's Chayiv Misa. Either way, he's Chayiv Misa. Bring him to be killed. No, again, the Marid B'Malchus, according to the Malbim, is that originally he left the palace without being dismissed. Right? He was playing for me. I wanted him to continue, and he ran out without being dismissed. It's Marid B'Malchus. The people are going to say, what do you mean he's Marid B'Malchus? He didn't. He was Marid B'Malchus. He would have run away at night. Right? So that's why Shaul appointed the guards, that he couldn't run away. He says, no, he only didn't run away because of the guards. And now he's got another reason. Maybe he only didn't run away because he was sick. But if he was not sick, he would have run. He's a Marid B'Malchus. Either way, bring him to be killed. Pasuk Tes Zayin. Vayavoa Malochim v'hinei ha-trofim el amita. So the Malochim come in, right? You know, I guess, Micha lets them in, or they force their way in. And they look and they see that there are trofim in the bed. V'chavir ha-izim irashosim. And they see the goat skin by the head. Okay? They come back to Shaul and they say, they're messing with us. David's gone. And the bed was stuffed, right? So Shaul is very unhappy, okay? Pasuk Yudzayin, Vayomer Shaul and Michal. So Shaul calls his daughter and he says, Michal, what's the matter with you? Lama kachari misani? Why are you tricking me? Atashalchi is oivi. You sent my enemy away. Vayimolate, and now he escaped. Atomer Michal El Shaul, Hu Amar Elai Shalchini Lama Amisech. So she says to Shaul, it wasn't my fault. He forced me. He said, cover for me or else I'll kill you. Right? Now that's not really what happened. Right? Michal was the one who gave him the idea to run away, but she's covering for herself. She doesn't want to get killed by her father. Right? So she's nervous. She's scared. So she says, no, that's not what happened. You know, he forced me. I didn't have a choice. He was going to kill me. Okay? So the Malbim and the Mitzvot HaStavot would also say, listen, you know, had he just jumped through the window, you know, maybe then he did it on his own. But you put the trophim in the bed. You're obviously in cahoots with him. You're obviously trying to fool me, you know, and you're trying to stall for time. And look, now he's gone. Okay? So she said, no, he forced me, and he even forced me to do this trick, to stuff the bed. Pasuk Yudches, V'David barach vayimaleit. So David runs and he escapes. And here also the Malbim points out that here it says the words barach vayimaleit. Okay, in Pasuk Yudbeis we use the words vayivrach vayimaleit, and then in Pasuk Yud the Pasuk uses the words nas vayimaleit. Okay, so what are all these? What do all these things mean? So the Malbim says that in Pasuk Yud, the word nas means that you're running, but someone's in pursuit. Someone's chasing you. So nas was when he ran out of the palace and he went home, but Shaul was still in pursuit, right? Shaul sends his messengers, he sends his guards, he's still in pursuit. So that's the nas vayimaleit. Pasuk Yud Beis, when David climbs out the window, that's vayivrach vayimaleit. He's running and no one's pursuing him. They don't even know where he is. They don't even know that he left. So no one's pursuing him. In Pasuk Yirches, which is what we're up to right now, but David barach vayimaleit, that means it's for good. Meaning he runs and he's free. Right? He's escaped. No one is following him and he's free. Now where does he go? Vayovo el Shmuel haramah. So we haven't heard from Shmuel in a while. Right? Shmuel's been in the background. He runs to Shmuel, to Ramah. Vayakedlo es kol asher asalo Shaul. He tells him the whole story that Shaul's trying to kill him. Vayelachu uShmuel vayeshvu b'Nayos, and he and Shmuel go, and together they sit in Nayos. Now, what's Nayos? So Pashup Shat, the Mefarshim say that Nayos is a city that's right outside of, it's like a suburb of Ramah, and it was a place where all the Nevi'im used to go, and they used to learn, they used to study, they used to get Nevuah there. And that's where David went with Shmuel. There is a Medrash that the Radak quotes that Nayos, it was not the name of an actual place. They were actually in Ramah, but they were Asukim. They were busy with Nayoso Shel Olam, with Noyo Shel Olam, with the beauty of the world. What's the beauty of the world? The Beis HaMikdash. And maybe they were talking together about building the Beis HaMikdash, about where the Beis HaMikdash would be. That's the Medrash, Vayeshvu b'Nayos. Okay. Pasuk Yudtes, Vayaged l'Shaul le'mor hinei David b'Nayos b'Rama. So somebody snitches and they tell Shaul, listen, we found David. He's with Shmuel in Nayos, in Rama. So Shaul says, okay, now I'm going to get him. Vayishlach Shaul malachim lo kacha, says David. So Shaul sends messengers to go capture David. Vayaris lahakas hanavim nibim. And the messengers come and they see this large group. And the Malbim says lahakas hanavim means like a huge group of nevi'im, all prophesying. Ushmuel ome nitzav aleim, and Shmuel is standing there leading the group, right? Teaching them, prophesying with them. Vatehi al malachei shol ruach elokim vayisnabu gabhema. And they're struck by this awesome scene of Shmuel standing there and all the Nevi'im getting their Nevuah. Many of the Mefarshim say that Shmuel was getting his Nevuah. Shmuel was the highest level Navi at the time. He was the biggest Navi. So he was getting his Nevuah directly from Hashem. And then through him, the Shefa, the overflow of Nevuah went over onto all of the other Nevi'im. And they were getting their Nevuah through Shmuel. And now because of this awesome scene and the power of the Nevuah that was existent in this place, the Nevuah just spilled over onto the Malachim of Shaul, onto these messengers of Shaul. And they're caught up now in the Nevuah. and they start being minabe. Okay, well, that wasn't very successful. He sent them to kill David, and now they're in a, you know, now they're giving nevuah. So he's got to try again. By Agidu L'Shol, so they tell Shol, you know, your first group is not very successful. They just started being menabe with everybody else. So Shol says, okay, Vayishlach Malachim Acherim. So he sends a second group of messengers. Vayisnabu Gam Hema. Same thing happens to them. They get caught up in the nevuah. Vayosef Shol Vayishlach Malachim Shlishim Vayisnabu Gam Hema. And then he sends a third group, right? And the third group again gets caught up in the nevuah. Okay. So Shaul says, all right, I got to go myself. This is ridiculous. Every group I'm sending, they get caught up in the nevuah. Vayelech. Huh? Again, Shaul's blinded to all this, right? He's blinded. He's like, he can't think straight. Pasuk Chav Gimel, Chav Beis, Vayelech Gam Hua Ramasa. So Shaul says, forget it. I'm going myself. He picks up and he goes to Rama. Vayavo. That's where they are. Well, again, it's a question. Nayos is either right outside of Ramah. Some say they were in Ramah. Yeah, it's around the same place. Vayavo adbor hagodol asher b'sachu. B'sechu? Mine is cut off here. Yeah, b'sechu. Thank you. So he comes to this big pit that was in Sechu, which was outside of Ramah. Vayisha vayomer efo Shmuel v'David. So he asks around, he sees people there. He says, listen, where are Shmuel and David? Vayomer hinei b'Nayos, Barama. They're in Nayos. That's where they are. Okay. Vayelech sham el Nayos Barama. Pasachav kibol. So Shaul goes and he heads towards Nayos. Vati alav gam hu ruach elokim. And now he gets caught up in the ruach elokim in the nevuah. Vayelech haloch vayisnabei ad bo b'Nayos Barama. Not only that, but he starts getting the nevuah. He's not even in Ramah yet. And he starts feeling the spirit of Hashem, this Ruach Elokim. He gets caught up in the Nevuah. Unbelievable. Pasuk Chav Dalet. Vayifshat gamhu begodav, vayisnabe gamhu lifnei Shmuel. So it's a shayla exactly what this means. That sounds like he took off his clothing. So the Radak says, Pashup Shat, that the Nevi'im, when they got their Nevuah, they were in such a trance and they were so removed from the physical world that sometimes they would take off their clothing. And because, again, they were like not physical beings anymore. They were like completely spiritual beings when they were in this trance of Nevuah. So maybe that's what it means. The Rashi says, no, that's not what it means. The Pshat is that he took off his royal clothing and he put on the same garments that all of the other Nevi'im, all the other Tamidim were wearing. He became one of the Nevi'im. Imamish took off his crown. He took off his royal garments and he put on the clothing of the B'nai Nevi'im. But either way, Vaisnabe gamhu lifnei Shmuel. But now Shaul also starts to be menabe in front of Shmuel. Vayipol arom kol hayom hahu v'chol halayla. And again, either this means that he was arom, he was actually naked because he had taken off his clothing. Some say arom means that he went meshuga, right? That because of all of this, you know, all of this, these spirits and this ruach ra and the ruach elokim, Shaul was totally meshuga at this point. Al kein yomru hagam shol banavim, and it's based on this we have the saying hagam shol banavim. If you remember, that was back in Perek Yud when Shaul also had a brief stint with Nevuah. You look back at Perek Yud, Psukim Yud Aleph and Yud Beis. Shaul had a brief stint. He encountered a bunch of Nevi'im, and he had a little stint. A little fling with Nevuah, and people would say Shaul, he's also a Navi, you know, because Shaul wasn't known as a Navi. So this became like a saying that whenever the Radak says over there that whenever you have a person who wasn't on a madrega, but he seemed to be on that madrega, people would say, Hagam Shol Banavim, right? That was like a phrase, an expression that they had based on this incident. Okay, this is how Perek Yutes ends. We'll stop here for tonight, Mitz Hashem, and then next week we'll pick up with Perek Chaf. Shkoyach, thank you for coming.
Thank you, Rabbi.
Thank you.
Okay.